final authority in your life. Can I have an amen tonight? Now, let me get this baby turned on. We're ready to go. Turn in your Bibles tonight. We're still talking about shame. I hope you enjoyed today's sermon, this morning's sermon. How many of you got something from the Lord this morning? Thank you. Amen. I'm glad to hear that. Go to Romans, the 10th chapter. I'm going to talk tonight about four verses in the Word of God that are stepping stones of things we can do to be free from the spirit of shame and the spirit of guilt. Go with Romans. First scripture is in Romans, the 10th chapter. Verses 9 and 10 are familiar to us, but there's another verse here that flows with those. And we're going to read Romans 10, 9, 10, and 11. It says, are you there? It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe that. Verse 10, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 11, for the scripture saith, I'm glad the scripture says something. Amen. For it talks to me. How many know the word talks to us by the Holy Spirit in investing it in our lives? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him. Y'all ready? I'll read it again. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. I'm so glad that my belief system determines whether I walk free of shame or I walk in shame. And what I have to believe in is him to be set free from shame. See, the message the world gives us today, and there's some good stuff in this message, but it's not really spiritually, scripturally accurate. The message today is, I've got to believe in myself. I got to believe that I'm great. I got to believe that I'm wonderful. I got to believe I'm somebody. Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but it's not believing in you that sets you free from shame. Because how many know? You know your shortcomings and you know your downfallings, right? And if you don't know all of them, there is a relative, especially your wife, that can point out several that you've overlooked. Amen. And how many know sometimes people can overlook, they'll point out some people, Sister Bucket Mouse and Brother Know-It-Alls, can point out what the pastor's flaws are that he doesn't see yet, right? And other Christians can point out other Christians' flaws. But what sets me free from shame is not believing, it's not believing in me that sets me free from shame. It's not believing in you believing in me that sets me free from shame, even though I hope you believe in me. It's believing in him that sets me free from shame. Amen? Because see, him did something. Of course, we know the flow of Romans 10, 9 through 11. It's talking about Jesus, believing in Jesus. But let's go a little deeper because you've got to connect verse 10, which is what that means when it says, for the scripture saith, with verse 11. What does verse 10 of the scripture say? It says, for with the heart man believeth unto what? Say it again. Righteousness. What's righteousness? Righteousness means right standing with God. Did you notice that verse said that the way we get right standing with God is to believe unto righteousness? Well, what, how's that connected? Well, believing in Jesus and believing to get, believing in righteousness and believing in Jesus are the same thing. What do you mean, Brother Mark? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he hath made him to be sin for who knew no sin, that we might be made, are you here tonight? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. See, he became what you were so you can become what he is. He became sin with your sinfulness so you can be made righteous with his righteousness. You will never earn that. You'll never work hard enough. You'll never pray long enough. You'll never read the Word enough. You'll never fast long enough to get in right standing with God. You will never measure up. But thank God, I don't have to measure up with my own merit. I have to believe that I'm made righteous with His righteousness. I'm in right standing with God because of what He did. If you do that, you'll just sin without a You'll just sin without a license. How many people sin whether they got a license or not? Amen. Amen? No. When I believe I'm made in right standing with Him, when I truly believe I'm made in right standing with Him, because He became sin with my sinfulness, so I can be made in right standing with Him, with His righteousness, it won't keep me in sin, it will keep me out of sin. Because I want to live for Him, because He gave this to me. We live in imparted righteousness, not earned righteousness. Now connect that with verse 11 again. He that believeth in Him shall not be ashamed. My belief system in Him is Jesus gave me His righteousness. I believe what He did was enough. Amen. Now see, some of you, your mind just went tilt. Because some people are so afraid. Fear is not a good place to be anyway. So afraid if you preach that. People are just going to willy-nilly do what they want to do and think they're right with God. How many people do that already? But if I believe, see, my belief system will change my actions. If I believe I'm in right standing with God, I'm going to act like and walk like I am.
Amen.
He's done way too much for me to purposely disappoint Him.
Amen. Amen.
There's no shame.
Above.
People might say, well, you did this and you did that. And you might think, I did that and I did that. And I don't believe in me because I did that. That don't matter. I believe Jesus, and Jesus made me right standing with God. Amen. No, so everybody say, I must believe. Now here we go into the second part that's so connected. I must receive. Go to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Oh, one of my favorite passages in the Word of God are these two. I read them quite often. Quote them quite often. Hebrews 12. Oh, I just got through with Hebrews. Good book of the Bible. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Verses 1 and 2, talking about Jesus, said, wherefore seeing, are you there? Okay. Wherefore, seeing you also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us as we're running, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. Stopped right there. Jesus, when He died on the cross, had a joy that was set before Him that He looked at. And that joy was what was going to happen after the resurrection. What was going to happen? He saw people get delivered and saved and free of alcohol and drugs and perversion. He saw marriages restored, people get filled with the Holy Ghost because of what He was doing on the cross. He had a joy that was set before Him. But how many know He had to endure something at the cross? He had to endure something at the cross. And what He endured had something to do with His sin. Let me make a statement to you. No one walks in sin and doesn't walk in shame. There are people that say, when they see somebody do some gross sin, they say, don't they have any shame? They may not act like they have shame, but I guarantee you there's shame they're walking in, because every sin is connected with shame.
Right.
What did Jesus bear in His body on the cross? 1 Peter 2:24 says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the cross, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. 1 Peter 2:24, by whose stripes ye were healed. Jesus bore your sickness by the stripes, but He bore your sin in His body. He bore your sin, and if He bore your sin at the cross, He bore your shame at the cross. Look at the next part of this verse. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, even though he despised it, despising the shame, and is set on the right hand of God. He despised the shame, because how many know the shame that came with being made sin at the cross was not something that he deserved. It's something he received for the penalty of what mankind had done wrong. Jesus bore your shame. If he bore your sin, he bore your shame. Because you can't separate them. If he bore your sin, he bore your shame. Now I want you to look at it this way. I don't want to offend you, but I want you to look at it this way. Isn't it a slap in God's face if you tell him, I can't get over what happened in the past. I can't get over of my failure in the past. I can't get over the mistakes I've made with my children, mistakes I've made in my life. I can't seem to get over that. Isn't that a slap in God's face when the penalty he paid so you could get over it? See, we sometimes think we feel obligated to still have guilt and shame. I mean, it doesn't do you any good, does it? No, Jesus bore it. You're not being irresponsible for walking free of the penalty of what. Now you have to repent of it, but you should not feel obligated,
right,
to think you can't walk free. Because after all, I did this wrong. You don't have to walk under the burden of the past. I don't care what it is. Every one of us, as I said this morning, have to deal with this in some area. And you know what? This is the truth. The devil is out there to obligate us and oblige us if we want to do what we want to. He's there to help us out to be shamed. He's there to pat us on the back and say, oh, you poor little darling thing, you should be full of shame about what you did. And sometimes the danger in that is we think the one that's patting us on the back and telling us we deserve to feel shameful about what we've done in the past, we think the person patting us back is the Holy Ghost, when it's really the devil. If you've asked God to forgive you and it happened 5 minutes before church, you are forgiven.
Right.
See, when did they just flippantly do it? That's none of your stinking business. That's between them and God.
Right.
I've seen people ball up the altar and not mean it, and I've seen people that just took it real blunt, you know, just real dry, seemed like, and received it and walked away and set free for the rest of their life. It's not the emotion that sets you free, it's what you believe that sets you free, okay? Now listen to what I'm about to tell you here. Jesus bore your shame. Quit trying to it's not your ministry to bear your shame. It was Jesus' ministry. Quit taking his ministry away from him. Just receive. See, I must believe and I must receive. Go to Zephaniah, the third chapter. Zephaniah, the third chapter. If you've got a large print Thompson Chain Bible, that's page 994. You need to read Zephaniah so when you go to heaven you can say, Zeph, I read your book. And Zeph, did Mark Levine preach a message about this scripture you had here? Zephaniah 3. Oh, we'll start with verse 17. It says, I got a friend that wrote a song about Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee. How many believe the Lord's here? Now listen to this, because it's going to connect with another verse we're going to read here. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. How many know that's true? He will save. How many know that's true? He will rejoice over thee. Now how many know that's pretty heavy right there? We talk about rejoicing in the Lord, but he's rejoicing over us. Shamed people, God doesn't rejoice over. If he's in our midst, he's not only here to heal, deliver, he's also here to enjoy you. I enjoy God's presence, but do you know the same God's presence that I enjoy? He enjoys my presence. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I will rejoice over thee. Listen to this part. It even gets deeper here. I will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. Now listen to this last statement. I will joy over thee with singing. You know, we sing worship songs because we're entertaining the presence of God. I never thought about this. God sings songs over us. Psalms 32 says the same thing. It says he encompasses us around with songs of deliverance. That's God singing. God sings over, we sing over him, but he sings over us. Woo, baby. That means when I come into his presence, he's not ignoring me. He's not shunning me. He's excited that I'm there. You want to get real deep into this? It gets deeper when you look in the Hebrew. You think that was good. Wait till you hear what it means in the Hebrew. Strong's Concordance in the Hebrew. This occurs more than one time in the Old Testament. When it says, he will joy over thee with singing. Listen, are you all ready? The word to joy over means to spin about under the influence of a violent emotion. Boy, I could get an amen somewhere on that one. I mean, if that don't make you Holy Ghost filled Pentecostal, nothing will. I'll try that one more time. When God gets in my presence, he joys over me. The word joy over me, picture it in your mind and in your heart. The joy over means he spins around under the influence of a violent emotion. He gets in my presence and this is what he does. And the word sing doesn't mean, the word sing there doesn't mean like singing a song. It's a noise and it means a high shrill. Now think about what that means. When God gets to visit with us, he goes, "Woo! It's good to see you, Mark, again. Amen." How many of that'll make you worship him? How dare you have to be cheerleaded into worshiping God? When God meets with you, he joys over you and he gets excited about it. Amen. You know, well, first of all, we want to talk about shame in this, but here's the thing, first of all, about shame here. How dare us think that we should be ashamed if he's that excited to meet with us? Now, like I said, ultimately this is talking about Israel, but every promise in the book is mine. Right? Because I'm in Christ. Verse number 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly who are of thee to whom the reproach of it was a burden. He's going to gather the sorrowful and he's going to rejoice over them. They ain't going to have a burden. They ain't going to be sorrowful no more, baby. Verse 19. Behold, at that time when all the sorrowful come, behold, at that time, I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth thee, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame. This is so good. In every land where they were put to shame. Now that's a scripture and a half, baby. Every area that you're shamed in, when God gets done, the area you were shamed in, you will become famed in. I'll say that one more time. When God removes the shame, the area you were shamed in, you'll now be famed in. You want some proof of that? Well, look at the church world as a whole. When God delivers somebody from drugs, guess what area God uses them in after he's delivered them from drugs? He uses them to get people delivered from drugs. If somebody is an alcoholic and God sets them free from the shameful act of alcoholism and God sets them free, saves their soul, fills them with the Holy Ghost, takes that desire away from them, guess where he uses them? The very area they were shamed in. I had a pastor for years that was a Sunday school superintendent in the Assemblies of God in Tulsa, Oklahoma, Pastor Bill Lay, who went on to be with Jesus, in 2011, I believe it was, and him and his wife got divorced. But a year later, God put their marriage back together. And guess what area? Years and years and years later, they were strong in bringing families back together and making their family whole. It's almost like God takes the devil's nose and he rubs it in your mess. Amen. He said, you said that they were going to be shamed because they were a drug addict all their lives. Look at here, devil. Not only did I set them free, I removed the shame of it and I'm using them in the very area they used to be shamed in. See, your greatest fall, when God delivers you from your greatest fall will be your greatest place of ministry.
Glory.
Mm. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise for that this time. See, this is good stuff and God gave me revelation, but the good part is that's who we serve is a God like that. I said, that's who we serve is a God like that. So, I must believe. Everybody say, I must believe. Say, I must receive. And I must let it be because He God, He Jesus, and He the Holy Spirit will take my shame and set people free. Say that one more time. I must believe. Everybody say it. I must receive. And I must let it be because He, God, He, Jesus, He, the Holy Spirit, will take my shame and will turn it around and set people free with it. One more verse. Go to Romans, the 5th chapter. I must believe. I must receive. I must let it be because He's going to take my shame and He's going to set people free. Step 4 has to do with the Holy Ghost. I must say, Holy Ghost, just fall on me. Romans, the 5th chapter. Oh, this is rich. Romans 5. Praise the Lord. Start with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience and patience experience and experience hope. Listen to verse 5. And hope. What kind of hope? The hope that believes to see the glory of God. How many know that's to believe, the hope that believes to see God's presence manifested in their behalf, okay? Can you agree with that? How many know hope comes before faith comes? Without hope, there is nothing for your faith to believe for. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, I heard Roy Hicks say this years ago. He said that without hope, your faith is hopeless. See, the concrete is faith, but the frame is hope. And the faith can only be poured out on the frame you've built. If you have a little hope, you'll have a little faith. If you have great hope, you'll have great faith. I mean, hope is nothing without faith, but faith is also nothing without hope. And this scripture says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Have you ever had the Holy Spirit speak a word of hope to you and it begin to stir something up for you to believe for? Years ago when I went to Russia, I was in my study in Sedan, Kansas praying and the Lord dropped in me. He said to me, I'll give you whatever you ask for. And this little glimmer of hope came in to believe God, to preach in Russia. And all of a sudden I prayed that prayer and I prayed so I had hope to go to Russia. I believed in prayer that I would go. It wasn't 2 weeks later that everything was set up. It wasn't about 4 months later that I was on a plane. Plane preaching in Russia in 1993. How many, it all started with hope.
Glory.
Now this scripture says, hope. Can you read it with me again? Verse 5. It says, and hope does what? It maketh not ashamed. Isn't that kind of contrary to what we tell people and how we really believe sometimes? Now, let me say, several newer versions, I think the New King James does this also. The word says, hope maketh not ashamed. It says, hope will not disappoint us. Isn't that contrary to the way we tell people? Believing for a new job. I'm hoping for a new job.
Come on.
Oh, don't get your hope up too high. You'll just be disappointed. See, hope tells you you can have it.
Amen.
I mean, hope comes from the Holy Ghost. Romans in another place says that we can abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That little flicker of hope that's in your heart and your spirit, that comes from the Holy Ghost. You went to church tonight and you got all kinds of things wrong in your family. And you sung the song, I Will Not Be Denied. Probably somebody in here, while we sang that, there was something that was dropped in you to keep hoping.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then the enemy comes. How many know he's going to come right after that? Especially if you talk about it. Because that lets him know you're believing for it. And he starts whispering here, you should feel ashamed to hope for that. Not you, brother. I'm just using an example. But how many of this brother and anybody, brother or sister in here knows what I'm talking about. You should be ashamed. Just like I've got a brother here that's got an OU shirt on. He should be ashamed to think they're going to win a national championship. Amen. They can't even beat Iowa State. Amen. That little hope that they may do good. But how many of that hope can be dissipated? You feel it. Now that's silly, but because I don't think God really cares. Okay. But there's other things like that. You feel ashamed to believe for a good job. You should have got an education. Well, yeah, you should get an education. But how many know God can even do something about that? But hope says this. But shame says you don't have any right to hope for that. God won't heal you of cancer or lung cancer, especially because you smoke. How many know God can still heal it? And in some cases, we need to believe God's willing to heal it. Amen. Think God's going to bless you after all the messes you've made. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God don't bless. Listen, by the way, let me tell you something about healing while I'm right here. I haven't mentioned yet. Let me tell you something. God don't heal you because you're good. He heals you because He's good.
Right.
It's believing in His goodness that heals you. Right. It's not believing in your goodness that heals you. Amen. It's His goodness that heals you. Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 27, the last verse, it says, I would have perished, I would have lost heart, unless I would have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You want Mark Levine version? It means I would have given up unless I had a belief system that believed God's going to be good to me while I'm on earth. Now when I get to heaven, I already know He's going to be good to me in heaven. I don't need to believe He's good to me when I get to heaven. I already know He'll be good to me when I get to heaven. I believe He's good to me now. And I believe no matter what I'm facing, He's going to still be good to me. Amen. Amen. But hope raises up. But shame comes up and says, who do you think you are? Hoping that that will change. And then He'll say, you'll just be disappointed. You get your hope up too high, you'll be disappointed. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get my hope up there so high that it's just impossible for anybody but God to bring it to pass. Amen. Boy, I got to tell you a testimony on that, but it's just way too long, but it'd be awesome. But hope maketh not ashamed. Now, for you to understand why, you got to keep reading because there's a because, okay? Because. Ooh, Brother Heath, that means we ain't done yet. You know why I don't have to be ashamed to have hope? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which He's given unto us. How many got the Holy Ghost? If you got the Holy Ghost, the love of God has been poured out in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Because the love of God's poured out in my heart. If I know it's there, I've experienced it's there, I have a reason to hope. And the reason I have to hope is because when I sense the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that is evidence that right here, what I'm going through, God loves me. And if He loves me, I have a right to hope. I have a right to hope if He loves me. Let me tell you something about that, okay? Are you ready for this? This is good. This isn't good. This is good.
Come on.
Like to see them transpose this, okay? Because I'm thinking about that while I'm preaching. Anyhow, in the Bible, there is a term used on several testimonies in Acts where people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And one of the scriptures says, several of the scriptures say, this is good, it says, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Doesn't it? Come up here. Y'all use you. You're a good kid. This is a good kid. Did I use you last time? I've never preached here before. I didn't use them. Now listen to this. In the Bible, there's a beautiful story that Jesus uses about a prodigal son. And he comes back. He was in the pig pen and he comes back. And the Bible says the father saw him a great way off, didn't he? So you come towards me slowly. Okay, he's coming back. He didn't know how the father's going to respond to him. He thinks the father's going to reject him as a son. He's going to try just to be a servant. And the father ignores all that. He sees him a great way off, which tells me the Father, earthly Father, godly Father, was waiting for him to come back. And he ran. I won't do all of it. He ran. And it says he fell on his neck. He said, "This is mine. Son, I don't care what you've done. I still love you." Amen. He fell on him. Go back. Everybody say he fell on him. The Father fell on him.
Right.
Guess what? The Greek word for fail, that is F-E-L-L, fail, that is used in the story of the prodigal son, is the exact same Greek word that is used when it says the Holy Ghost fell on them.
Right.
So in other words, when the Holy Ghost falls on you, and you can get filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost still fall on you after you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. He falls on you. That's the representation of the Trinity that's saying as a voice from the Father, "I still love you. It doesn't matter. I still want to heal you and bless you and strengthen you. I'm not finished with you." Hallelujah.
Glory.
That ought to make you shout. That ought to make you want to be in the presence of God. Because you know what that means? A lot of times I think we struggle with this. You know what that means? Anytime. It doesn't have to be in church, but it happens a lot in church. Anytime you feel the Holy Ghost in church. Anytime. Sometimes we feel the Holy Ghost and we think we're supposed to shout. That's okay. We're supposed to run, maybe give a message in tongues. But most of the time, God just saying, "Son, I know what you're going through. I know what you're struggling with. But I just want you to feel my presence to remind you, no matter what you're going through, you have a right to hope because I still love you." Did you just sense him when I said that? Why don't you just lift your hands up and just thank him for his presence tonight? Begin to praise him tonight. "I still love you, no matter what you go through." See, Rababiada, just worship him for a minute, church. I want God to speak to our hearts tonight. Just worship him for a moment. Oh.